Good morning. A reading from the Gospel according to John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Candle on the water, my love for you will always burn. I know you're lost and drifting, but the clouds are lifting. Don't give up, you have somewhere to turn. I'll be your candle on the water till every wave is warm and bright. My soul is there beside you. Let this candle guide you. Soon you'll see a golden stream of light. Cold and friendless tide has found you. Don't let the stormy darkness pull you down. I'll paint a ray of hope around you, circling in the air, lighted by a prayer.
God's people said amen.
Amen. Sometimes we feel broken. We feel discarded. We feel like a piece of furniture that no one wants. But God loves us, and He restores us. And He makes us new again. God always gives us a second chance.
This morning we conclude our Eastertide sermon series, Second Chances, Stories of Redemption, Repurposing, and Restoration. The idea behind this series is that our God is the God of second chances and third chances and so forth. And we have been looking to Jesus' interaction with folks in the Bible to see how he offered them second chances and how Christ today offers us second chances because of his great love for us. Because the message of the gospel, the message of the risen Christ, is that no matter where we are or what we've done, God sees beyond our imperfection. God loves us, forgives us, and offers us new life. We close this series with the story of St. Peter, whom the great Southern writer Flannery O'Connor described as someone whom the church is founded on, yet who denied Christ three times and couldn't walk on water. Well, Peter is probably my favorite disciple because he provides so much comic relief in his responses to Jesus. Think about it. Help me, Jesus, help me. I can't walk on water. We can't feed all these people, Jesus. I'll take my sword and I'll cut off that centurion's ear and that'll show him, Jesus. The list of Peter's impulsive actions flow throughout the gospel, even unto Holy Week, when he is accused of being a follower of the Christ and responds to the young woman who declares, "This man is one of them," by denying Jesus three times, saying, "No, I am not a follower of Christ." Now, fast forwarding, John tells us, after the Christ was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples without Thomas. Then a week later, he appeared to them again, but this time Thomas was with them. Then he did a myriad of signs and wonders, John writes, too numerous to list, which brings us then to the 21st chapter of John, the end of the gospel, and our gospel lesson for this morning. In the first part of that gospel, the verses right before our reading, we find Peter and six other disciples taking up their old job as fishers of fish, not of fishers of people. It's not surprising at all that after all they had been through, they'd want to do something familiar, easy, comfortable, in their comfort zone. So they pile in their boats and they fish all night long. And what do they catch? Nothing. Just after daybreak, John tells us, Peter and the others were dejected. They see a man standing on the shore, but they didn't know it was Jesus. He calls out to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they replied, "No." And he says, "Well, put your net on the right side of the boat." And look what happened. What a catch they made. At this point, Peter recognizes Jesus, and he puts on his clothes because, of course, Peter was naked in the boat. Hey, that's in the Bible. That's not me making that up. And he runs ashore to meet the risen Christ, and they set up a barbecue, and Jesus cooks breakfast for them, and they eat. And by this time, they all knew that they were experiencing Jesus' third appearance post-resurrection. Well, after they had all eaten, Peter had some me and Jesus time, which I imagine was both thrilling and oh, so awkward. You see, Jesus knew Peter had denied him three times before he was crucified. And Peter knew that Jesus knew that Peter had denied him. And here they were, together again. My guess is that Peter was trying to figure out how to apologize to Jesus. But Jesus deals with this awkwardness by asking a very simple question. He looks at Peter and says, "Simon, do you love me?" Jesus could have handled it all in a very judgmental way. He could have said, "Simon, are you ashamed of denying me?" Jesus could have said, "Simon, I understand you lied about knowing me." Jesus could have said, "Simon, how can I be sure you won't deny me in the future?" How many of us know someone who probably would have acted like that? Or maybe it's ourselves. But you see, Jesus did none of those things. Instead, he asked Peter simply, straightforwardly, three times, "Simon, do you love me?" And three times, Peter responds by saying, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." There's a tender and loving scene in the musical Fiddler on the Roof. Tevyev and his wife Golda are being forced to move from their home in Russia. And one day, Tevyev comes into the house and asks his wife, "Golda, do you love me?" "Do I what?" "Do you love me?" Golda looks at him and responds, "Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and the trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out, go inside, go lie down, maybe it's indigestion." Tevye interrupts and asks the question, "Golda, do you love me?" And Golda sighs. As she looks at him and says, "Do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cows. After 25 years, why talk of love right now?" And he answers by saying, "Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared. I was shy. I was nervous." "So was I," said Golda. "But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other, and now I'm asking, Golda, do you love me?" "Do I love him?" Golda says. "For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?" "Then you do love me?" "I suppose I do. And I suppose I love you too," he says. "It doesn't change a thing, but after 25 years, it's nice to know." "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Jesus knows the answer, but it was nice to know. The great preaching professor David Loos once wrote, Jesus asked Peter, three times whether he loves him. Three times. Imagine if someone you cared about asked whether you really loved him or her, not once, not twice, but three times. Be painful. And Peter is indeed hurt by this repetition. He writes, "I suspect that only later did it sink in that Jesus is not testing Peter, but reinstating him to the community of believers by allowing him to confess faith the same number of times that he had denied faith earlier." Jesus is drawing Peter back into a community into which he belongs and accepts him for who he is. And in response to each of Peter's confessions, Jesus responds by giving him good work to do. Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. Guide my people. If one of them gets lost, search for that one even while you're tending to the other 99. Regularly recite the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, I am the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. Model your life after me, Peter, as I offer you mercy and grace right here, right now, along the shore of the Galilee where we first started this whole thing 3 years ago. Receive my love, Peter. Receive my blessing because, Peter, I choose you as the person to continue this sacred and this holy movement. I choose you, Peter, to build the beloved community, the body of Christ, moving forward. Yes, Peter, you've messed up in the past big time, but I am giving you a second chance to be the leader that I know you are, that I know you can be. Look out for others. Devote yourself, Peter, to this community. You are the rock, the touchstone of our ministry and love and grace and salvation. You'll share your experiences with others and change their life in the process. And your life, Peter, will then become a model for everyone who follows me for generations to come." The great preaching professor, Dr. Fred Craddock, who died in 2015, tells a story about an encounter he had while vacationing in the Tennessee mountains. One day he was having breakfast at the local diner and a fellow coffee drinker found out who he was and he said, "Dr. Craddock, I want to tell you my story. I was born just a few miles across that mountain. My mother was not married, and the criticism directed at her hit me as well. I stayed to myself at school lest the insults of my classmates hurt me. When I was 12, a new pastor came to the little community church. People talked about what a wonderful preacher he was, so I began to attend. I'd slip in late, sit toward the back, always leave early. One Sunday, though, I got so caught up in that service that I forgot to leave early. And as I was finally escaping out the side door, I felt a strong hand on my shoulder. I turned around and looked into the eyes of that preacher. He said, 'Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?' My heart sank at the question. But then the preacher went on, 'Wait a minute. I know who you are because the family resemblance is unmistakable. You are a child of God.' And with that, he patted me on the shoulder and added, 'That's quite an inheritance. Go claim it.' The man in the diner then said to Dr. Craddock, 'That one statement literally changed my life.' He then went on to say his name was Ben Hooper, and twice he had been elected the governor of Tennessee. The great story of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, which we will celebrate next week, is that we are all invited to claim our inheritance as children of God, and we are invited to share with someone else who may not understand what that means, that they too are children of God. You see, no matter if we've previously denied knowing God, or turned away, or said, it's just not for me, we all have a second chance to proclaim that we are all part of the family and loved equally and undeniably by the God who claims us for love. Amen? You see, whether we want to or not, we all belong to God and we belong to one another. Last weekend, I was in Kansas City and I spent Saturday with our own Michael House, who is now the senior vice president of the only national World War I memorial nationwide. This is us on top of one of the buildings. It's an amazing place. It's filled with people, a place of gratitude for those who made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, which we remember this weekend. But for me, it was also a reminder that inasmuch as God gives each of us as individuals second chances, God also offers us as a nation second chances too. Amen? That is, to paraphrase a famous saying, if we remember the past, if we remember our history, we are not necessarily doomed to repeat it. And in light of world events, I think we need to remember our past as often as we can so that we can move forward towards peace with justice for all God's children everywhere. God asked Peter, and God asks us today, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Care for one another. Do you love me? Reach out your hand to someone who needs it. Do you love me? Comfort someone who is grieving. Do you love me? Take care of Raquel as long as she remains on that corner. Do you love me? Forgive someone who has hurt you. Do you love me? Live as someone who claims their inheritance as a beloved child of God. Do you love me? Then go and tell others that God gives us second chances each and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen."